The title of my message tonight is The Antichrist, His Lies, His Kingdom, and His Mark. I'll say it again. The Antichrist, His Lies, His Kingdom, and His Mark. Dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior, I do pray that You will be exalted tonight, that Your truth will be exalted in our hearts and in the preaching, Lord. We thank You for the Holy Bible. It is our sure word of prophecy. We know, God, there's no other book like that on the face of this earth. We do thank You for it. We do thank You that You tell us the end from the beginning, that You are the Alpha and Omega. We thank You, God, that You are right. Though everybody in the world, all the nations are mad, Lord, we know You are straight, You are right, and You are true from the beginning. In the name of Jesus, bless us as we preach. Amen. Amen. Well, you know that I've showed you year after year after year, I've showed you quotes from early Christians that have said they believe. I'm talking people from the 1500s, 1600s. They said all learned men believe that Jesus will come somewhere around the year 2000. You say, how did they know that? Well, they knew that there were 6 days in the book of Genesis. And they knew on the seventh day you rest. And they said there'll be 6,000 years to this old earth from Adam. And on the seventh day, the seventh millennium, the Lord's going to rest and establish the 1,000-year kingdom of Revelation chapter 20. Now, they said He might come early, so we better be ready. But we know He'll come somewhere around the year 2000. All learned men believe that. Quote after quote after quote I could show you tonight. You've heard before, they always believe Jesus is going to come in their day. Well, there were some that set dates, but I'm going to tell you the majority of Christians, I will prove it to you, believe that Jesus would come maybe any minute, but on schedule somewhere around the year 2000. Well, we get close to the year 2000, and what happens? You get the nation of Israel restored. Everybody said, those prophecies about Israel in the last days, that's all, that's not going to happen. People said, no, Antichrist must stand in the temple of God. He must sit in the temple of God. There must be a restored Israel in unbelief so the Antichrist can come into the temple and proclaim Himself God. They said, no, that's all spiritual. It's already happened. Well, guess what? 1947, 1948, Israel is established as a nation, and now you have this movement to rebuild the temple. You have all of this coming to pass, just like Jesus said. I'm going to tell you some things tonight that I believe your sinful flesh does not want to hear. And I do believe, as it says in the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine, and there'll be scoffers saying, where's the promise of His coming? We have a movement that arises quite often in the churches to spiritualize everything. But I'm going to tell you, you better stick with that book. You better read it as written. You better read what God has to say. And even though some things are not going to be comfortable to your flesh, because your flesh wants to enjoy this world. It does not want to be a stranger and a pilgrim. It doesn't want to think that any minute Jesus is going to come, the Antichrist is going to come, and then the Lord's going to set up His kingdom. It doesn't want to think about these things. But I tell you what, there's joy, folks. If you'll just let God have His way, if you'll just let God shake your world, there's joy in letting go and detaching yourself from this world. It's a vapor anyway. You can't keep it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming to make all things new? I tell you, when people are prospering in America, they don't like second coming preaching. See. But if you were suffering a little more than you are, you'd be glad for the second coming. Matthew 24, Jesus said, there shall arise false Christs. So people are going to come saying, I'm the Messiah. False prophets. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Beware of miracle men that come with lies. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. That's the false Christ, folks. Jesus comes from the sky, and all eyes shall see him. You understand? He's not going to be in the desert someplace. Whoever comes from the desert and says, I'm Jesus, is Antichrist, or a Antichrist. Jesus says in John, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Did Jesus come exalting himself? No, he humbled himself as a servant. He came glorifying the Father. He came in his Father's name. Let's turn it up tonight. God wants you to hear something tonight. Amen. He says, if another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. Somebody's going to come. They're not going to glorify God when they come. Who are they going to glorify? Their own self. I tell you what, wherever you find self-glorified, you find Antichrist or Antichrist spirit. That is not the spirit of Jesus. Jesus comes and says, deny yourself, glorify God. The Antichrist is going to come and glorify himself and tell you what you want to hear. Let's read about the Antichrist. Y'all ready? 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. A fall is pretty quick, isn't it? It's pretty rapid. When it begins, when you begin to fall and you begin to slip, it's a pretty rapid thing. And we are living in the midst of the falling away. That means there's some Christians that are no longer walking with God. They are not walking in the true doctrine. Before Jesus sets up His kingdom, He wants you to understand that you're going to see a giant apostasy, a falling away of Christians, where Christians no longer live like Christians. And that man of sin be revealed. Who is that? That's the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. So we have to have a temple, right? Over there in Israel, showing himself that he is God. You say, why is he going to sit in a restored temple over there in Israel? Because that's where Jesus is going to sit. The Bible said Jesus sits on the throne of David, folks. The throne of David is in Jerusalem. He's going to sit for all eternity on the throne of David, and certainly during the 1,000-year kingdom. But that old Antichrist is going to walk in there. He's going to pretend he's Jesus. He's going to sit where God is going to sit for all eternity. And he's going to say, I'm Him. I am the fulfillment of prophecy. Worship me. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and sign. Y'all listening? And lying wonders. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Folks, don't get caught up even now in this delusion. Do not get caught up in this feel-good message. Do not get caught up in that message that Satan gave to Eve and said, you'll be as gods. You shall not surely die. How far are we in prophecy? You know, Jesus could come tonight. I tell you what it says in Israel National News just this past year. A large group of religious Jews ascended the Temple Mount. Uh-oh. Every time they try that every year, they say, we're going up to that mount and we're going to have our temple. Just like the Bible said, they would be restored in unbelief. And basically, they don't believe in the first coming. They think the Messiah is about to come. So they go up to the temple every year and those police come and they get their sticks and they bring them off the temple. Something happened this year for the first time, folks. They went up there to that temple. And it said they receive friendly service from the police there. Something's changing. Unlike the harsh police treatment the Jews typically receive on the Mount in recent years, one of the Jews was even allowed to fully prostrate himself in prayer. Things are moving. Things are moving. There's going to be a temple. They're going to restore this thing. Revelation 13 says Antichrist is coming, though. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, he's a beast in God's eyes. But to the eyes of the people, they think it's their Savior. And notice, he has a buddy beside him. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So, he's going to present himself as a Christ-like figure, humble and sweet and kind, but his words are going to be satanic. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Can you imagine if somebody, you know, they think Jesus had long hair and looked like a hippie. Can you imagine if some man comes with a Christ-like, in their eyes, figure, and all of a sudden he starts doing miracles? How many folks do you know that would say, I believe. They accepted Obama. Look, folks, they will believe. You understand that? All around you. And God's going to send strong delusion. You say, why would God send them strong delusion? Because it says they did not want to believe the truth. They received not the love of the truth. Let me give you 1 John 2. Love not the world. Are you loving the world today, Christian? Are you loving the world? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Little children, listen to me. Listen to the apostle. Little children, listen to the Holy Bible. It is the last time. Do you know we've been in the last times ever since Jesus came? We've been in the last final 2,000 years or so age of history. But now, folks, you are in the last days of the last time. Do you understand that? It says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Why would he tell you about the coming of the Antichrist right after he told you to love not the world? Do you see what God's saying? God is saying that until you get a understanding that Antichrist is coming, till you understand that this whole world is marching toward Satan presenting himself as Jesus, until you understand that, you're not going to be able to understand the Spirit. You're not going to be able to understand what people are singing about. You're not going to be able to understand Hollywood and all of these things out here. Folks, listen to me. Bible prophecy will keep you from being worldly. You look over there in Matthew 24 and you read about that evil servant. I want you to see the first thing he had to say in his heart is, my Lord delays his coming. Do you see? Then he began to eat and drink with the drunken. People that eat and drink with the drunken usually do not have a motivation that Jesus, I believe, is coming. Antichrist is coming. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. We need to watch for the Lord any moment. No, they get deluded. It might be 1,000 years. It might be millions of years down the road. Take thy ease, soul. Eat, drink, and be merry. You better understand Antichrist is coming, folks. I tell you what, there's much more the Bible teaches about this man. He's going to be a peacemaker. He's going to have a false prophet who speaks as a lamb. And I know what their message will be, folks. Their message is going to be, you shall be as gods. You can realize your own divinity. If you will simply meditate and do some yoga, if you will just think and realize your potential, people eat that stuff up. Do you understand if we started teaching that human potential movement? Do you understand the amount of people that would flock if you just tell them that they can be gods? With this introduction, I want to look a bit closer at the Antichrist lies and his kingdom and his mark. And I want to do it in that order because it's the Antichrist lies that will help establish his kingdom. And his kingdom forces the mark upon people. Put it this way, you die if you don't receive it. The first thing I'd like to talk about today is the lies of the coming Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. What does that mean? It means that these lies are already found. The only difference will be is this lie of the Antichrist will reach its final culmination. It won't be in the fringes of society. It'll come out in full force up front. You know, 100 years ago, a literally devil-possessed woman, she claimed to have spirits in her. She claimed to perform automatic writing. Her name was Annie Besant. Annie Besant, exactly 100 years ago, I'm going to read you some things from 1910 and 1911. Exactly 100 years ago, Annie Besant began to prepare the world for the coming of Antichrist. Do you know? She believed the Antichrist is going to be their world great leader, the world leader. She believed that the Antichrist, we call him Antichrist. They believe it's the great Messiah that's going to come. Annie Besant was what we call a theosophist. She was a follower of Blavatsky. Blavatsky is the lady that's glorified in the Harry Potter novel. She was a Eastern mystic, demon-possessed lady. And what they simply did was look at the early writings of what's called the Gnostics. If you're ever in a bookstore and you see the lost writings of Jesus, they're not the lost writings of Jesus, folks. They're the Christians that were devil. They're not Christians. They came and said they're Christian, but they're devil-possessed people that mixed paganism and occultism with the Bible. And they're occult followers of the devil. And what Blavatsky did was revive that old Gnosticism for modern day. If I was to sum up their teaching, I would give it to you this way. Blavatsky and Annie Besant said that there's a coming kingdom of women. Just as Adam was created first and then the woman, the next kingdom upon this world will be a kingdom of women. Basically, she looked at Antichrist Gnostic writings. I have a sermon called The Coming Kingdom of Eve that you can study these quotes. I won't get into it today. But basically, they looked at these old so-called words of Jesus. They're not the words of Jesus. They're Antichrist satanic words. And she basically said the devils, what she calls them spirits, you know. She calls them leaders in the heavens. Basically, she says that what's going to happen is women are going to put on men's clothes. And when women put on men's clothes, they're going to quit being interested in motherhood. And what's going to happen is women will be like men. And lesbians will basically begin to rule the world. For example, in 1935, De Pourucker in the esoteric tradition says, it will come, this coming kingdom, when there is neither male nor female. It is one of the theosophical teachings that the present state of the human race as divided into men and women shall have disappeared, at least philosophically. That's pretty much where we're at today. What are you taught from public school all the way up? What are you taught in daycare and in Hollywood and every show? There is no distinction between men and women. Oh, do you think that's all an accident, Church of God? Do you think that's all an accident? Do you think you're waking up with lesbians and homosexuals everywhere and you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman? Do you think that is an accident? When all human beings will be Christ's in greater or lesser degree, then the kingdom of Christ, which the early mystics spoke and wrote so much about, shall have arrived. God says the time's coming when women shall rule over you folk, but it's not godly women. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that it'll be silly women, foolish women, that'll leave their place. And this is the problem many are having today. I tell you what, you put a lesbian in a place of authority and you have a bureaucratic nightmare. I tell you what, not long ago, they had on the news a man shooting a bow and arrow at a target right here inside his own yard. Some lesbian police officer walks up and says, this is wrong! This is wrong! What are you doing? Give me your ID! And the man says, what do you mean in my own yard? What do you mean my ID? Give me your ID! And she ends up tackling the man. And all kinds of horrible things happen. You know why? Folks can't think out of the box anymore. You understand that? It's that feminist bureaucracy. It's a nightmare is what it is. Let's read from Annie Besant 100 years ago. For one reason, I want you to see the Bible is being fulfilled today right down to the very letter. Annie Besant in 1910, 100 years ago, says if you look around you now on every side, you will see the signs of a closing age. They knew things were changing, right? I mean, that's 10 years before the roaring 20s. They knew things were about to change, right? Thoughts which have reached a point beyond which they cannot continue in the old lines and in the old methods. Okay, so the old paths must be put away, right? It is in that next transition age, then, that you and I are standing. The night must come before the dawn. Think highly of yourselves, highly of your divine possibilities. Realize that you are gods in the making. Where does that come from? That's the lie of Antichrist. It is the lie of Antichrist. Here it is, early 100 years ago on the fringes of British society, but guess what? It's not on the fringes anymore. I tell you what, the Christian preachers are preaching this lie. Do you understand that? Thought is the mightiest power. You say, they're not teaching that. Oh, really? Read Norman Vincent Peale. Read Robert Schuller. Read all of the think and grow rich junk. Read about all the business, positive thinking, how to prosper in your business stuff. They're all telling you thought is like magic. If you think about it, it will happen. Folks, the secret, Joel Osteen, all of that mess out there, it's all about thought power. The thought image comes first, and then it's materialization. This is why they put in movies what they're going to do, see? Because they believe. Then after the movie comes out, and then the thought materializes, they think that they perform some type of magic, see? So they put it all in the movies because they're trying to bring... They think if they take thought, they can make something happen. So they'll tell you in the movies what they're going to do or what they try to bring forth. The coming Christ, which we know is not our Christ, it's the Antichrist. Y'all listening? The coming Christ. We are on the threshold of a new manifestation and the mighty teacher again will appear. If at the birth of the fifth sub-race, why not at the birth of the sixth? They believe that there's been five sub-races and they believe finally now that they're entering the sixth point of evolution. And what's the Antichrist number? 666. See? So He comes, and they believe He is the fulfillment of the sixth sub-race. And they believe He will evolve and be able to perform miracles and have psychic powers because He's the sixth, He's the evolved sixth type of race here. According to Blavatsky, in the 1800s, the sixth sub-race will begin to evolve in the area of the United States, mainly California, in the early 21st century. Boy, they're there, aren't they? Well, you look at those people and say, what are you? You must be the sixth sub-race or something. I don't know what you are. So it's going to evolve in California somewhere. She said that 100 years ago, man. 150 years ago. In the early 21st century... And they will begin to have psychic powers by blending reason with intuition. Today, there's a mass movement against thinking. They'll think about visualized world peace and that type of thing. But as far as reasoning, they do not want to reason. You have to feel everything. You understand? These are the lies of Antichrist. God wants you to come reason with Him. The Antichrist says, just act like an animal. Y'all awake? Amen. God's good. Listen to me now. They go on to say, you see the signs of the coming all around you. If your eyes should be open to recognize what they mean, an expectation is spreading everywhere of the coming of some mighty teacher. The world will grow expectant before the mighty one returns to reveal himself on earth. Such a coming of Christ, the occult world is looking for. 1910. We are now living in 2010, almost 2011, 100 years ago, they said when the whole world starts getting expectant, when the whole world starts believing the things that I'm teaching right now, you will know the great leader is about to appear. Folks, all the things that she just said there, intuition over reason, evolution, your divine possibilities, all of these things are now in the air today. She says the night will come first, though. These occult writers believe that a great crisis will emerge on the earth that will lead into the initiation of the mysteries. Those who refuse will not be considered worthy of the new age, which, of course, are the fundamental Christians. Annie Besant, in a Chicago Tribune, 1911, says everything tends to show that the time is at hand for the great world teacher. Fraternity is to be the watchword. In other words, brotherhood. Let's not speak against some other religion. Let's have brotherhood. Fraternity is to be the watchword. Are we there yet? Do you hear about the uniting of all religions? The world's peace is achievable politically. It will result in a vast spiritual movement, unifying all warring creeds. This will be the task of the coming teacher. It is not far distant. Then our aeon will close and a new age will open. Folks, do we have a vast spiritual movement today? What she calls a vast spiritual movement, so-called, the Bible calls the falling away. One more time, in 1911, speaking on the immediate future, Annie Besant says, "The coming of a world teacher, before I turn to the right place of the great world teacher, let me for a moment turn your eyes to the those who guide the events in history, who shape human evolution. There is beyond and behind all physical happenings a mighty hierarchy of graded order in the hands of which lies the government. That mighty hierarchy, the true rulers of men. Wherever you see the signs of a great idea spreading over the mind of the people, the idea ever becomes incarnate in a person." Who are the those that she's talking about? Those are what the Bible calls devils. The Bible says you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. In other words, according to the Bible, there is an unseen world of devils, Satan's kingdom. When you see a growing tendency toward union among religions and among peoples, when you find men speaking of universal peace, then you may know that the world government, the world movement toward union must needs take incarnation in those who shall accomplish it. Well, we see that today, don't we? And who shall bring in the union of religions other than the world teacher? Coming events cast their shadows before in the thoughts of the people. When we hear on all sides the cry that a great religious teacher is needed, when we find from pulpit after pulpit there rings out the longing for a great teacher who shall draw men's hearts together and make the brotherhood of religions an actuality, then it will be realized. Folks, that's what we hear today. Nobody wants to speak against any other religion. Finally, I'll give you one more quote. Annie Besant says, "I am going to try to show you this evening the world religion, something of its outline, something of the way in which it will present itself." In other words, she's going to show you what the religion of the Antichrist will be. We already know what it is from the Bible, but notice what she says. "It will teach that the union of man and God is possible." What does the Antichrist come to do? Show that he is what? Show that he is God. But he's going to show you that you can be God also. Evil is only imperfection, that which is not complete. Isn't that what they've been teaching through psychology? Oh, the criminal, he's just not complete yet. He needs to be educated, programmed. The creative power is thought. You must realize your own divinity. You do not want threats and curses and anathemas. Do you know why they hate my book, The Rod Will God Spare It? Because I revive God's warnings to God's people. I teach that there, in the Word of God, that God has warnings for you. You understand that? I teach that God has warnings for you. But what are they teaching? The Antichrist spirit says, don't worry. That is not the way. When you preach on the street and you give people warnings, do they accept you? Do you know why? It's in the air. The devils. What did the devil say to Eve? Thou shalt not what? Surely die. What is Annie Besant saying will be the message of the new religion? No threats. No curses, no anathemas. Man needs no threats. So what's the world teacher going to come? Is he going to come with warnings? No. The world teacher is going to come making everything attractive. Or as she said, the coming world teacher will make attractive that which I can only put to you in poor human words. Gradually a deeper, more spiritual view is spreading through the churches. We see a growth of mystic interpretation. The deeper, more mystical view of Christianity will prevail above the more crudely dogmatic. What is this devil-possessed lady saying? She's like, figurative interpretation is what it's all about. In other words, the coming of the Lord is not really the coming of the Lord. It's the coming of an idea. The thousand-year kingdom is not a thousand-year kingdom. It's just a beautiful, mystic, spiritual thing. Are you listening? Do you see that Satan does not like warnings? Do you see that Satan does not like literal interpretation? Do you see that? Dogma is necessarily intellectual, not spiritual, imposed by authority of some sacred scripture. Aren't you glad that you have a King James Bible? Aren't you glad that you believe it? I'll tell you what, they hate it. You understand that? They said, no, you're finding truth outside yourself in a book. They said, you need to find it within yourself. Mysticism, on the other hand, is the inner recognition by the testimony of the divine within him. In other words, they want you to say, God is within me. I need to just go with the feeling. See, I tell you what, folks, there's religions that tell you, don't worry about the Scriptures, just feel God within you, and whatever you do, just follow your heart. That's called Satanism, folks. Even if you put Jesus' name on it, that's Satanism. With no demand that reason shall be able to argue it, a sinning without reasoning, such a breath has breathed over Christendom. Annie Besant, devil-possessed, looks at all of the Christians and said, yes, everything is going to plan. Oh, this is wonderful. Look how everybody's starting to turn toward their feelings. Look how Christians are getting away from the Word of God 100 years ago, folks. What was only a seed 100 years ago is now a full harvest, Church of God. She says, we now feel to the depths of our being that we do not want an imputed righteousness. What does she say? She says, we don't want to be pronounced not guilty by imputation of the blood of Jesus. No, everything must be experiential, see. The Christ who saves is not a Christ outside, pacifying the wrath of an angry God, but a Christ within. Meditation is the way. There is no other way. It was not possible 200 years ago to usher in the New World religion, but she believes it's starting to happen in her day. Folks, do you understand how many people in high places, Mary Ferguson called it the Aquarian conspiracy, where she talked about people in government, people in Hollywood, people in literature, the college professors. She began to say that we all believe this Annie Besant stuff. So you need to understand the world around you. You need to know what they believe. They believe the opposite of what's in your Bible. Now that you see the lies of the Antichrist, what will be the lies? You shall be as God. Realize your own divinity. Just meditate. Don't think about it. Don't reason. Don't study the Bible. Just look within. Follow your feelings. Whatever your feelings say, if you ever go to the Bible, make sure you interpret it mystically and figuratively. Do you see it? Once the lies have been established like they are now, the Antichrist can then set up his kingdom. What will the kingdom of the Antichrist be? It'll be a new world order, a world government. Daniel 7 says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. There must be a world government. And they must change from a democratic rule, a republic rule, to a dictatorial autocratic rule that comes through the power of propaganda and flattery. In other words, he comes in by peace and then establishes power. Daniel 8 says, he shall magnify himself in his heart. Does he come to glorify God? And by peace shall destroy many. He comes promising peace. Peace to Israel. Peace to the Middle East. Peace. Peace. Everything is about peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Daniel 9 says, this Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Not every Jew will follow him, but a lot of Jews will follow him. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So he brings peace to the Middle East. He allows them to rebuild their temple. He allows them to start their sacrifices. And 3.5 years later, he stops the sacrifices. He goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, and then starts killing everybody. Takes the mask off and says, I'm Satan, worship me. Isaiah 28, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell are we at agreement. Basically, those Jews right now that are expecting their Messiah, some of them, many of them, when the Antichrist comes, who are they going to think He is? They're going to think He is the Messiah. Others will just believe He's a wonderful answer to prayer, but they're going to make a covenant with Him. But He's going to break that covenant, and He's going to kill more Jews through the most horrible tribulation that has ever been. It'll be more horrible than Hitler, and He'll certainly kill Christians too, according to the Word of God. Are there any signs that these things are soon coming to pass? The AP report just a few days ago says Israeli foreign minister says peace is impossible. Do you know when you reach a point of desperation and they say it'll never happen, a man's going to stand up and he's going to say, I'll bring it to pass. Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Obama and everybody tries to go over there. Jimmy Carter. Everybody wants to be the Antichrist, you know. Maybe I'll be the Antichrist. So they go over there because they know whoever brings peace to the Middle East will be worshipped. Zechariah 12 says, in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Amen. Y'all settle down and listen. The Bible said in the last days Israel will be a nation and Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone. You know what's stopping world peace today, according to all the nations of the world? Jerusalem! Do you know the reason they think we can't have peace in the world today is Jerusalem! The AP report says President Barack Obama is exhorting the world to unite around the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Let's come to unity! Let's come to unity over Middle East peace. Do you realize how prophetic that is? That's prophetic because the Bible says in the last days the world will unite around Middle East peace. Revelation 17 says the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's Rome. Rome is the great city that must be revived in the last days. And there's going to be a European super state. And what the Bible says is the kings of the earth, do you realize they don't have to vote? They don't have to go ask the people. They don't even go to the Senate. They don't go to Parliament. The kings of the earth say, would you like my kingdom, Mr. Antichrist? I'll give it to you. What does that mean? It means that the republics around the world, whatever few are left, if there are any, must fall. And you must have, it can be there in name only, but you must really have a king. Now, he might not call himself a king. He might call himself a president, but he does everything by executive order. That means he bypasses Congress. Whatever he wants to do, he does. He's a king. And if he wants to give America to the UN, he does. If he wants to give America to the super state of Europe, he does. Do you see around you the loss of your liberties like never before in history? Do you see around you a growing super state? The Bible said it had to happen. I could quote G.H. Lang, D.M. Patton, I could quote all these early men that said, oh, in the last days, you're going to have a bureaucratic nightmare. Gone will be your republic. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. Our forefathers always looked for a revived Roman Empire with a president of Europe who will one day be the beast. I tell you, as a child in summer camp, a little boy, a man stood up and preached, one day there's going to be a supercomputer and the ability to put whatever in your hand and control your finances. One day there'll be a president of Europe and Europe will grow into a super state. Christians have believed this for hundreds of years. Let me give you some steps to the formation of the Roman super state over in Europe. In 1948, when Israel was restored, something else happened significant. Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg formed a treaty. 10 years later, in 1957, they had the Treaty of Rome.
And they added Italy and France and Germany. This became the European common market. That's amazing. Now you have this European common market. They call it the EU now. By 1995, United Kingdom, Ireland, Denmark, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Austria, Finland, and Sweden were all added to the EU, which is the United Revived Roman Empire. Just like our forefathers said. They said Israel would be a nation. They said you'd be see a falling away like never before in history. They said you would see the rise of Rome and you would see the rise of a European super state. It's all happening according to the letter. Why? Because the Bible's true. Hey, when this European super state came into formation, look at the symbol I showed you a few years ago. Look at the statue outside of the European Union headquarters. It's a woman riding a beast. The pagan goddess Europa riding a bull. They put this same symbol on the coins, on their stamps, and on the posters associated with the EU. They basically said, this is the woman riding the beast. The Bible speaks of the European superstate. It says in Revelation 17, He carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. You remember the first official poster of the EU was also satanic. What did they do? They gave you upside-down goat head stars, and then they gave you the Tower of Babel. And then you see the cranes and all of the workers. What are they doing? Europe, many tongues, one voice. What are they saying? They're saying what God threw down, we will rebuild. What God threw down, we will unite with a one world. And we will rebuild it with upside down goat head stars. Did somebody know what's going on? Does somebody follow any Bizant and Blavatsky, somebody involved in all of this is filled with the devil. It is interesting that there is a Western European Union that is set apart from the European common market. They claim that by July 2011 it will be disbanded, but we just need to watch it and see what happens. Basically, it's 10, and they said, we're not going to add any more. We're going to keep it at 10, and this is just here as a security. So we'll just see what happens with that. But here's one thing I want you to realize. You have the formation of the European superstate. Now all you need is a European president. They used to claim, well, no, we'll never have a president. We'll never have a president. Well, hey, they have a president now. The new European president, Financial Times, December 17, 2010, Herman Van Rompuy, the European president, reiterated the EU's determination to do whatever it takes to maintain financial stability. What do you have now? A European what? President. A European president. You have a leader of the European Union. The thing they said for years would happen. And you know what people do? They eat their popcorn. They go to McDonald's. They eat their hamburger. They cut on their TV. They microwave their popcorn. And all of this stuff around them is being fulfilled. Things their forefathers said, if we ever see a European president, I'm going to repent and get on my face. I tell you what. You pick up the paper. Oh, President of Europe says so and so. And you don't notice. You understand? That's the problem today. We do not have a discerner of times like we need. He's the first full-time president of the European Council. He took his position officially on the 1st of January 2010. CNN tells us, a quote from Herman Van Rompuy, 2009 is also the first year of global governance. Says, and that's a sweet way of saying New World Order. Governance, a feminine word, you know. It doesn't hurt quite as bad as government. The first year of global governance in the middle of financial crisis, another step toward the global management of our planet. What do they want to do? They want to globally manage the entire planet. CNN observes the election of this European president was done in a less than transparent fashion. It was done behind closed doors without a parliament or public. In other words, who elected this man? Nobody. Who voted? Nobody. What parliaments, what senates of the nations elected him? Nobody. This caused the Italian MEP, member of the European Parliament, the Italian speaker speaking at the European Parliament says, is it possible that nobody has noticed that all three of the top EU leaders, including Van Rompuy, frequently attend the Bilderberg or trilateral meetings? Are they merely candidates of these occult groups that meet behind closed doors to decide matters over the heads of the people? In other words, he said, these men are members of occult New World Order organizations. Somebody knows what they are doing. Here's a headline from London newspaper. Nation states are dead. EU chief says the belief that countries can stand alone is a lie and an illusion. And one of the most open proclamations of the goal of a European super state. What is this man saying? We're going to get rid of borders. We're going to get rid of countries. We're going to have a sovereign super state that will rule the world. Folks, the lie, flattery, selling peace and divinity to the simple-minded, selling the idea of universal brotherhood and a new world order, selling the idea of a European super state, a one world government. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon?
Yes.
Folks. Well, finally, when this super state comes to pass, they will institute a mark, which for hundreds of years our forefathers said, somehow or another, they didn't know what a computer was. They didn't know what an AM radio was. They didn't know what a cell phone was. They didn't know what any of these things was. And they basically said, someday they're going to have some way of organizing everybody in the entire world and marking them financially, and you can't buy or sell. They didn't understand how such a thing could ever come to pass. Let's read about the mark of the coming Antichrist. Revelation 13, He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man, and his number is 666. A few years ago, a company came on the scene called Digital Angel. They had mobile units that could go into cities. You could call 1-800-GET-CHIPPED. And they would come up and have their little mobile golf cart. And they would basically inject the chip into your hand. And people got on TV and they said, I got my chip. And basically they could scan it and put all your information. You could chip your children. So basically, if they ever got kidnapped, they could scan them and know who they are. People got on TV and they got interviewed. They said, you know, were you afraid to get the chip? And they said, no, I wasn't afraid. See, I got my chip. And it was a big thing. I pointed out to you years ago that Digital Angel put in their logo 666. Now, things have gone way past Digital Angel by now. That was enough 3 years ago to cause you to get on your face and say, I need to get ready for Jesus.
Amen.
I reported to you in a sermon that it may be before the Lord comes, He might come tonight, but it may be that by the time this technology comes, you'll be able to have a video right in your hand. You'll be able to have a hologram right inside. Antichrist's face can show up in your hand and begin talking to you. Let me show you where the technology has already come this past year while we were asleep. Serious injury law in the UK has an article called Brain Machine. Researchers from the University of Chicago found that monkeys were able to move thought-controlled computer cursors more effectively when given additional sensory feedback. They're experimenting with monkeys that can move things with their thoughts, with their brain, neurons or whatever. Robotics tells us robotically empowered monkeys may soon rule the earth. This headline, well, I believe there will be some robotically controlled monkeys. Maybe not a literal monkey, but I tell you what, if people don't wake up, they might as well be a monkey. The writer says this headline may be a little sensationalist, but it's true. Robotic might is meeting with monkey mind power to produce a true force to be reckoned with. Monkey minds can now communicate via internet signals and electrodes placed in their brains to robotic arms. Here's another headline. Professor surgically installs camera in head. Now, this is ignorant, but I just want to show you how this merging of electronics with the body is such a popular idea now. New York University professor who planned to implant a camera in his head has finally done it. Now, the microchip has become so common that Georgia legislators, Virginia legislators, have actually met and outlawed anybody forcibly implanting someone. Now, they're not going to be able to stand against Antichrist, but at least they're trying. Virginia legislators outlaw involuntary implantation of microchips. Concerns include privacy issues and preventing the apocalypse. This is serious. Hey, Virginia legislator is saying, sirs, we don't want the book of Revelation to come, and we don't want to bring in the Antichrist. Let's outlaw anybody forcibly chipping somebody, please. The law now prevents employers or insurance companies from forcing patients to accept the devices. Privacy topped the reasons for concern, but the bill's sponsor also saw the microchips as the mark of the beast, according to the Washington Post. And I'm not saying they're the mark of the beast. I'm saying they are setting the stage. He could use it as the mark of the beast any minute. Do you understand that? Several states, such as Wisconsin and Georgia, have also approved similar bans. So across America, they're saying, hey, you're not going to bring that chip stuff here and force people to be implanted. And you need a ban like that because you could easily get thrown in prison for some charge that somebody trumped up. And they tell you, sorry, if you go to prison, you have to get marked. The bill also took on religious overtones due to a belief shared by some fundamentalist Christians that microchips may represent the marks described in the book of Revelation. It's a view supported by Mark Cole, the Virginia delegate who sponsored the bill. Microchips have also found growing use in medical applications. A UK school experimented with having students wear RFID chips on their bodies to track their movements. Microchips have also become popular in certain regions of the world where kidnapping poses a major threat. Another headline in 2010 says a text messaging microchip planted on patients' body significantly boosts compliance with doctors' prescriptions, according to pharmaceutical giant Novartis. So now these drug companies not only want to sell you their chemical poisons, they want to now implant chips in you that tell you, take your pill. Take your pill. They've already done it. And they said it's been great. People take their pills when we chip them. Patients taking a drug for lowering blood pressure also receive two additional gifts. Tiny microchips within each pill and a shoulder-attached sensor patch. The patch dutifully records the time and date when a patient takes each pill. Now you can get a call from your doctor. You didn't take your pill. You did not take your drug. I'll tell you what, that would be a drug pusher's dream, wouldn't it? So that it can give its wearer a cell phone buzz when it's time to take the next pill. Other information such as heart rate, activity, and breathing patterns are also transmitted to the cell phone and on the internet. You are breathing heavy. Is there any problem? Boy, every breath you take, folks, this is getting serious. Reuters says in November 2010, look out, your medicine is watching you. Observers say, I see the promise is going much beyond that. Novartis agreed in January to spend $24 million to secure access to chip-in-a-pill technology. Now you take your drugs, it comes with a microchip. Switched.com just this past month says implantable chips offer seemingly infinite healing possibilities, particularly for the blind, the disabled, and those who suffer from Parkinson's disease. Folks, I'm telling you, it's here and it's not going away. Do you understand? They are now saying it's our Savior. It's our digital angel. The chip is such a wonderful thing. So now it will be the next generation that grows up. It'll be as normal as a cell phone. You understand that? So when Antichrist comes and a government says everybody needs to get chipped, it'll be no big deal. ECNMag.com says we also have a magnetic sponge for drug and cell delivery. Engineers at Duke and Harvard universities have developed an implantable sponge that can squeeze out drugs or cells or other agents in response to a magnetic field. This new material is called a macroporous ferrogel. The point is they give you something, you take your drug, they have a magnetic wand, they say, you talking back to me, boy? They pick up their magnetic wand, pass it over you, and that drug inside of you releases. And now you get the poison or whatever it is. Now they say, we'll use it for good, don't worry. But if you have any sense, you'll understand whatever can be used for good can be used for evil. India Times, 2010, says, here's some good news for those suffering from chronic pain. Scientists have developed what they claim is a smart chip implant the size of a match head, which can prevent pain signals from reaching the brain. So you swallow your little, or you take your implant, get it in your body, and what happens is it keeps pain from going to your brain, pain signals. MSN Health and Fitness says nerve zapping implants may help fibromyalgia pain. KDH News says it's just a tiny microchip, but it's causing a big fuss. An ordinance expected to go before the Killeen City, Texas Council this month would mandate that Killeen pet owners have their cats and dogs implanted with a coded microchip or face a possible citation and fine. In other words, you will implant your dog, you will implant your livestock, pretty soon you will implant your children, and finally it'll be you will implant yourself or you will be fined. By the time the Antichrist comes, he says, you will receive my chip or I'll cut your head off. Gearlog.com says Amazonian trees are being implanted with microchips in order to prevent illegal logging. I mean, what? Everything has a chip. There were folks, when all of this technology arose, they said, oh, you're just a fanatic. That'll never go anywhere. It'll never go anywhere. Folks, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Okay. Here's another man named Joe Wooler, Sydney Morning Herald, December 16th, just a few days ago, fed up with carrying his keys around. Joe Wooler, 28, decided it was time for an implant. This year, the father of two had a microchip, which uses radio frequency identification technology, implanted in his right hand. His passive RFID chip does not require batteries, can last for many years, and communicates with receivers attached to doors. He said, there were a number of people out there who already put implants in their hands, and I haven't seen any real side effects yet. The Bible says when they take that mark of the beast, a great sore develops. They're already showing sores and cancers coming from dogs that have this thing. Mr. Wooler can open two doors to his house, start his motorbike, and open his car doors, all with just a swipe of his hand. Now you got the local gym here in Mansfield. You walk in and you just put your finger up there, and biometrics, you know, it lets you in by your fingerprint. I'm telling you, folks, we are entering a new world of Antichrist technology. People said, you don't believe there's any good that can come from all this? Oh, it's very convenient. It's very nice. It's very wonderful. And it's also very stage setting for the Antichrist. Mr. Wooler said that it's done lost its novelty by now. People aren't interested in ships anymore. It's no big deal. We've passed the days when people thought this was crazy. You see where we're at today, folks? It's become normalized, which had to happen. My daughter still wants to do it. She thinks it's pretty cool. See, once you reach a point to where it's pretty cool to have a chip in your hand, what more does the Antichrist have to do? This is what's amazing is a lot of this stuff the Antichrist could implement when he comes, but so much of it is already happening that he just has to show up and say, okay, I mandate it. A poll, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, says, would you ever consider getting an RFID implant? 45% said yes. 45%. Almost half said, of course I would. The other half says no, some because of the book of Revelation, others because they say health concerns, I don't know what it's going to do to my body, and others because of privacy, New World Order concerns. The San Jose Mercury News of December 27th says microchips are showing up everywhere. Besides being installed in everything from ATMs and airport check-in kiosks to pacemakers and ocean monitoring sensors, microchips are also going into a staggering array of items that were once low-tech, from gravestones with microchips, to running shoes with microchips, to fish lures, and even writing pens. The potential market is huge. Chip sales of all types generate about $300 billion a year in sales worldwide. In the future, where will we not find chips? Asked Jordan Selborne, a principal analyst for consumer electronics. The answer is pretty close to nowhere. These devices are taking on more intelligence now. Chips the size of a grain of rice have been implanted in millions of cats and dogs. The chips contain their owner's contact information in case the animals get lost. Taking that concept a step further, a British company sells a sure-flap cat door that opens for pets whose microchip it recognizes. You know, the cat walks up, it says, give me your hand. Passes his hand up and boom, the door opens. Its chips also have been used in the amazing Amanda doll, touted as being able to recognize its owner's voice and even pout when told no. No, that's satanic for a couple of reasons. Why does it pout? How about say, yes, mommy? Have it pout. The possibilities for these chips are pretty much endless. Folks, welcome to Revelation 13. Welcome to the New World Order. Welcome to the President of Europe. Welcome to what else needs to happen? PopSci.com says scientists have already created many cyborgs out of living cells and semiconductor materials, but now biological cells can also contain tiny silicon chips. Folks, they're going way beyond something just implanted in your hand. They're implanting it in your cells. The success now paves the way for intracellular processes that can monitor and control on a cellular level. It may also represent a small step toward fulfilling several of the Pentagon's wishes set forth by DARPA. They now want to be able to have chips in your body, in your cells, that read up on the internet where they could say, David is now breathing heavy. David, his sugar is now rising. David now, it seems that he's getting angry. And they have this stuff constantly coded. And they want to go further. They want to be able to mash a button and start influencing these cells to where now we've made him breathe heavy. Now we've made him angry. Now we've made him relaxed. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency of the Pentagon. It's now funding the development of a parallel assembly technique to assemble ultra-thin chips. Why do they want ultra-thin chips? Because they want them to go deeper inside you, folks. The entities will also devise a three-dimensional micro-electrical mechanical system, MEMS, and a micro-sensor that detects human dehydration level. Do you think all they want to detect is your dehydration? They said, oh, this technology would be great for our soldiers. We can tell, you know, while they're out on the battlefield, we can sit back here on the internet and we can tell he's getting dehydrated and we can send him a text message, get something to drink. If he doesn't take anything to drink, well, shock him. I said get something to drink. If you think that's all they want to record, you've got another thing coming, folks. NanoWork News, December 23rd. The collaboration of DARPA now will be indispensable for implantable microsystems. What are they doing, folks? They're increasing this technology to record every breath you take. As we close, I want to glance over some headlines from this past year that you might have missed to show you how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Here's one. Florida holding no refusal checkpoint. Blood demand. Texas 2. Now, I'm against drunk driving. Amen. I think alcohol is wicked from hell. I think it'll send you to hell. And I can't stand it that we promote it in our society, then get upset when drunks get out here and kill people. But folks, I'm not for demanding. I mean, if the person won't give you a breath test, take them to jail. But to go and withdraw blood from them, that's insane. It's insane. But it shows you where we're at with this new world order. Oh, just the other day you had an Indiana earthquake. Jesus said earthquakes will be diverse places. They're starting to be more frequent. You have them everywhere, places you wouldn't normally have them. AP News says 2010 was a world gone wild with quakes and floods and blizzards. This was the year the earth struck back. Earthquakes and heat waves and floods and volcanoes and super typhoons and blizzards and landslides and droughts killed at least 250,000 people in 2010, the deadliest year in more than a generation. What did Jesus say would happen in the last days in Luke 21? There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. But I tell you what, people cut on their CNN radio, they have all of this stuff happening all around them, and they're still asleep. They're still asleep! Forecasters this year are keeping an eye on the looming solar max. Headline, at its angriest, the sun can vomit forth tides of electromagnetic radiation that can disrupt or even knock out the electron. I've always wondered why sometime in the book of Revelation, and you look at the Old Testament, the battles are not fought with technological. It's with sticks and stones and horses and swords and things like that. You'll find out that what happens is the sun, if it sends enough electromagnetic radiation, it can stop all the electronics across the earth. And not only that, but we'll see here in a moment that they are now creating weapons that they can discharge over the middle of America that knocks out every single electronic in America. So if every nation starts sending up these bombs, folks, you're back to horses and swords and sticks and stones. For example, WorldNet Daily reported, report warns Obama about the new dark ages that are coming. Two national security experts have issued a report that warns Obama administration officials to start working now to prevent and mitigate the damage from an electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States because of the potential for unimaginable devastation. That's why, folks, it's great to have all of these electronics and things, but if you forget how to read a normal book, if you forget how to do things the normal way, it's not going to be good for you. Okay? Now, what about this? Proof of life on Mars will come by year end, says NASA expert.
They continue to want to make contact with devils, don't they? They have it in their mind. But you know why? Because these New Agers, if they can believe life is out there, it does away with the Bible in their mind, and it does away with God. And you know what these aliens are going to say if they ever do show up? They'll just be devils disguised as aliens. You know what they'll say? They'll say the same thing Annie Besant said. They'll say, meditate, have a new world religion, follow your heart, don't follow some sacred book, and the whole world has to come together or all the Martians will kill you. What are they going to say, folks? It'll just be the devil has the same old lie that he's always had. The alien will say, I got all of this power because I meditated. And if you'll meditate and follow everybody in California, you'll be able to become an alien just like us. Hey, you think this is funny, folks? Do you know the astronauts, some of them that went up there, claim to have made contact with aliens? Do you know that they are 33-degree Masons, these astronauts that supposedly went up here? Do you know they said, we made contact with aliens, NASA's trying to cover it up? Folks, you better wake up. All right, here's another one. Evidence for extraterrestrials is mounting daily, but not proven. The evidence is just getting stronger and stronger. Now, who is this? Carl Pitcher, director of NASA's Astrobiology Institute. These guys are looking for it. Then you continue to have all of these mystery lights, all these headlines about mystery lights, mystery lights, mystery lights. I don't know what to do with all of that, but remember what Jesus did say. He said there'll be signs in the moon, in the stars, and in the sun. Here's a survey that's very interesting. 72% of millennials more spiritual than religious. Most young adults today don't pray, they don't worship, and they don't read the Bible, a major survey by a Christian research firm shows. We have dumbed down what it means to be part of the church so much that it means almost nothing. To these people, they wouldn't know a local church if it hit you upside the head. They think if they have cupcakes in a park somewhere, that's church. See, God tells you what a church is. My point is everybody's becoming spiritual. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, they'll have a form of godliness. But will they be truly religious? Will they be truly in fellowship with God? No. That's a sign of the falling away, folks. Here's another headline. 1/3 of children have seen online porn by the time they are 10, a shocking study reveals. I don't know what to do with that other than let's just get on our faces and pray, folks. By 10 years old? You know what needs to happen? You can quote me on this. We need to get the old law that beat people with sticks. And we need to line up some of these parents that allow their 10-year-olds to get on the internet. And they need a whooping is what they need. I meant to allow a child to mess his whole life up. I tell you what, we got some ignorant parents in America, don't we? Kids walk around with cell phones, every type of gadget to get on the internet. They can do anything they want, sit on the TV, watch anything they want. We've got insanity in America today. What is that generation going to become when they grow up? We told you for years, once you start immodesty in the 1920s, it leads to a sexual revolution. And that leads to basically abortion and homosexuality. And the next step after that is pedophilia. I was on one radio station and they said, oh, do you really believe that we're going to have pedophilia accepted in America? I said, of course I do. We're falling. Our culture is falling. The things you now accept yesterday were considered horrible. Homosexuality used to be considered a disease even by the secular people. God calls it a sin. But now some of these psychologists are starting to write books saying pedophilia is acceptable. It's not a disease. See? Here's a headline just the other day. Author of pedophile book sold on Amazon
that Florida arrest is entrapment. He wrote a book saying pedophilia is acceptable. Here's another headline, who needs dads? New study claims kids are better off being raised in lesbian homes. I'm going to try to be quiet. Obama says repeal of military gay ban strengthens U.S. Putting a bunch of sodomite sissies in the military, how does that... And they can walk around and say, I'm a sodomite. That's going to strengthen our military. You got to be a sodomite to say that. Here's another headline. Churches contribute to gay suicides, most Americans believe. Now, they only interviewed 1,000 people, so that's about nutty. But nevertheless, if they're even close to being right, if most churches in America think that homosexuals are killing themselves because preachers are preaching against it, folks, God tells you in the book of Genesis, He said to Cain, if you do right, you wouldn't be depressed. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what He said. If you do right, you wouldn't feel so bad. If you go out here and live like a worse than an animal, it's no wonder you're depressed. You're doing filthy, unclean thing. It's not a preacher that's making you feel bad. It's your own conscience making you feel bad. Then we got this headline, the soaring rate of no father families. Lesbian couples and single women rush for IVF. These poor children. I cannot think of anything so horrible than these poor children of America being raised by lesbians and homosexuals. Never having an idea of what's straight and what's right. Then you've got all these Christians. A Georgia megachurch pastor recently outed himself to his congregation. So left and right, you're having these church leaders like Ted Haggard and this guy over in Georgia stand up and say, guess what? I'm a homosexual. And then what does the church do? They sit there in shock and they say, we're going to love him. We're going to accept them. And then they continue back to normal. Harry Potter is filled with witchcraft. I'm talking the real thing. It's filled with Antichrist dogma. It's filled with basically, Rowling is a theosophist, a follower of Aleister Crowley and Annie Besant. All of her ideas presented in there is nothing more than, you know that stuff I read to you? And you said, wow, that's crazy stuff back in 1910 when Annie Besant said that. Folks, that's in all the Harry Potter book. Everything that I read there is in the Harry Potter book all around the world that are being sold. And now you got preachers standing up and saying, Harry Potter is Christ-like, claims theologian. We encourage our people to read Harry Potter so they can get an idea of what Jesus is like. If you think all of that's bad enough, what about this headline? Sarah Palin blasts Neanderthals who say meaningless things like whether you can, or who get angry at meaningless things like whether you can or can't work outside of the home if you have small children. All those types of things where I would so hope that at some point those Neanderthals will evolve into something a bit more with it, a bit more modern. You know, the problem today is people are with it too much. Say, they're a bit too modern. Annie Besant said, we're now leaving the old path. The Bible said, a woman, a mother, that is not a keeper at the home of the home and does not guide the house, causes the adversary to speak reproachfully. Meaning that even the unsaved can look at it and say, if you're a mama, you ought to be with your children. What is your baby? Now, if you can't do it because you don't have a husband, that's one thing. If there's some reason, a real godly reason why this thing can't happen, I would hope that the churches would get together and work something out. But I'm telling you, folks, for these mamas that just want a career, and these husbands that just want to make more money, so every day the little child say, Mama, Mama, I want to stay with you. And then they send it off to a daycare to sit in front of a TV and eat lollipops all day. That's America today. And it's no wonder that all these studies are coming out saying all these women are depressed. They're depressed. I wonder why. Why is the homosexual depressed? When you do things that are wrong, you get depressed. Okay, what about this? More body scanners are coming to an airport near you. The government says we must see everything. And not only see everything, we're going to put our hands all over your body. And people have already been taught, you got women going before male doctors and exposing everything, and they don't think twice about it. And now you have, take it to the next step. Oh, don't worry, he's a professional. It's just like medical, you know, he's an airport security. You know, just stand in front of him, let him see everything. So, well, they're not going to store those things, are they? Well, here's a headline. Some police agencies are storing the controversial images. After all, U.S. Marshal Service admitted this week. Then you had some of them that were looking at the pictures and they were laughing and making comments about people's bodies. You know, they're caught making comments. Here's the Telegraph. Surveillance state more intrusive than ever. You have unmanned spy drones, GPS tracking of employees, and profiling through social networking sites. Welcome to the surveillance state. Then meanwhile, you had a headline, life is found in deepest layer of Earth's crust over a kilometer beneath our feet. The Bible says there's life down there. Jesus speaks of worms down in hell. People said, oh, well, that's just figurative. You better watch making things figurative in the Bible. That's devil-possessed stuff, see. I believe there's poetry in the Bible, but you better be careful. There's nothing poetic when Jesus said, worms are down in hell. People laugh about that for 1,000, 2,000 years. They laugh at that, say Jesus was nutty. And then all of a sudden scientists get down there, they go a mile down, and they find a whole lot of critters down there. They say, uh-oh. That's significant, folks. You better believe your Bible. I'll give you one more headline. There's so many we could give you, but we need to close. The Call of Babylon, why some travelers are braving Iraq. You know where the first Tower of Babel was at? Babylon. You know what God calls the final kingdom on earth? Babylon. Jeremiah 51. Book of Isaiah, I believe, chapter 13. Other scriptures speak of the revival of Babylon. It's all coming to pass. I hope today that you have been stirred up to not be the evil servant who says, my Lord delays His coming, so I'm going to eat and drink with the drunken. I hope you realize that if you continue rejecting God and despising His truth, and you don't want to get right and get stirred up for God, He might just turn you over and turn your light off, and you might continue. And when all of these delusions come to pass, you'll think it's wonderful. Do you want to be one of those people? Do you want God to turn your light off? I pray you'll be stirred up. I pray this year you'll say, Jesus might come any minute. I know one thing, Antichrist is coming. And I need to get myself straight so I will be able to stand against His lies and expose them. And you're not to just be aware of the Antichrist spirit. You, according to the Bible, are to resist it and get in the way of it. You are to hinder Satan and everything he does. You're to put a roadblock. Devil's trying to mess the minds of the children up. You get in there and straighten it all out and say, no, that's a lie. And you mess up the devil's work. Everywhere the devil's trying to work, you mess his work up. That's what Jesus wants you to do while you're here. Resist the devil. Let's pray. Dear Holy God, come Lord Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that You're coming soon. God, let us be ready. Lord, we know to be ready. We need to be saved by Your blood. We need to not be trusting in our own works. We need to be resting. Resting in the free grace. Oh Lord, You said it's finished on the cross. And may we also say it's finished. May we believe that You died for our sins. May we believe, Lord, that You lived a perfect life for us and You want to give Your life for us. May we say and pray to You, dear God, thank You for forgiving me of my sin. Thank You for paying the price of my salvation that I could never earn. And Lord, all my good works now are not to earn salvation, but only, Lord, to please You, Father. I want to please You for the great gift You're given me. May we never be trusting in our own works. Oh God, I do pray that many here, every person here, will be saved by Your blood, will trust in You for salvation. And Lord, I pray that they'll be motivated to live for You, to love You, to live for You in gratitude, to receive the rewards that You have for us, God. That they'll be stirred up this year to know that while we sleep, so much is occurring. The devil is working. Let us get busy. Let us be more busy than the devil. Lord, let us wake up and get on fire for You, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.